Hello, the internet. My name is Nick Fillingham. I'm here today with Charles Cox and Sean Hargreaves. Hi, guys.
Hi there. Hi.
Now, you are here because the Channel 9 community has said to us they want to hear from the XNA team. They want to hear from the game developer kind of support crew here at Microsoft, which is you guys at XNA. So we thought we would bring you in on a regular basis. This may be hopefully the first of a number of videos that we shoot where we talk to you about XNA and we ask some questions that the Channel 9 forum has submitted. So, guys, welcome. Just by kind of way of introduction, Charles, kind of what do you do on the XNA team?
I'm a program manager for the XNA Creators Club Online,
okay,
which is the independent game development support system and website on the internet. So I manage some of the community aspect, manage some of the business, and primarily the education aspect. We have a huge amount of samples and educational content that goes up at a regular basis, and I'm responsible for making sure that gets out to our customers.
And you used to work for Sierra, is that correct?
Yeah, I did. I worked for Sierra Studios early in my career. I worked on Police Quest SWAT.
Fantastic.
And, that was a lot of fun.
Awesome. And welcome, Sean. And just your role at the XNA world?
I'm a developer on the XNA Game Studio product. So I design a lot of the framework APIs and then implement them, test them. I'm responsible for making sure they work right.
And before we started rolling the cameras, you were saying you used to work at Climax and were on the MotoGP series, is that right?
I was. I was the lead programmer on the MotoGP games, which were actually the first title on Xbox Live when that first launched.
Yeah, so anyone that was on the Xbox Live beta will be familiar with your handiwork.
Definitely.
Fantastic. All right, well, I thought let's start at the very beginning. For people out there in Channel 9 world that are perhaps, they've heard the XNA acronym, they know it has something to do with games, but not 100% sure really what it means. Let's just, the very first question, what is XNA? Charles.
XNA has been used for a lot of different things. Right now, XNA is a set of services and software that allow people who want to develop games for Microsoft platforms to do so at home with managed code. So it's much, much easier than the native development route. You can use XNA Game Studio to develop for Windows, Xbox 360, and now Windows Phone 7.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we also have the XNA Creators Club Online, which, as I said earlier, is the destination that developers go to get support, talk to other developers in the forums, learn about the XNA services, and also to put their games for Xbox 360 through peer review and get them out onto Xbox Live Indie Games on Xbox Live Marketplace.
Now, is XNA exclusively for the hobbyist or the non-professional games developer? Or is there some overlap now between, you know, me in my bedroom at home wanting to kind of tinker with some game development and a professional shop?
I sometimes regard professionals as folks who do something for money, and by that definition, if you want to make money on Xbox Live with your game, you can do that with XNA Game Studio and the XNA Creators Club. So I think the lines are blurring, which is a really exciting thing.
Cool. Now, again, before the cameras were rolling, we were talking about XNA, the history of XNA. XNA now, you were saying, has kind of evolved into a kind of a group of services. So XNA really isn't a single destination. There are some components to that. There's the Creators Club, which you just spoke of.
Right.
What are some of the other elements to kind of XNA that it's probably worth differentiating?
I think that's a good question. There's the XNA Creators Club, as you said. There's the primary development toolkit, which is called XNA Game Studio.
Okay.
So that's what you download and you install. It works with Visual Studio, so it's a very familiar development experience. And that contains the services that let you program your game for Windows, Xbox 360, or Windows Phone 7. There's a couple pieces to that. There's the XNA framework, which Sean works on every day and he's an expert at. The XNA framework. XNA Content Pipeline, which is a component of Game Studio, which allows you to get your art into the game. And then there's XNA Game Studio Connect, which is how you can deploy and debug your game on Xbox 360 on your retail Xbox right at home. So
now,
there's a lot of different services.
You just mentioned the Connect word. Now, that's Connect as in with a C, not
Connect.
With a K. Let's just quickly jump into a question. We're going to come back to the questions, but there was a question here from Bass who submitted in the forums, and we will get to the rest of them in a minute. And he's answered his own question by saying this is undoubtedly, he knows the answer to this question, but is there any Kinect support in XNA? And the answer is
The answer is no, not right now.
Okay, and I just thought it'd be worth highlighting that kind of the beginning, because I'm sure you get a lot of questions about Kinect. It's a kind of a buzz topic at the moment. And you did kind of mention the Kinect word, but that was a slightly different spelling.
Yeah, different meaning of the word.
Yes, so just to kind of clear up any confusion there, we will come to those questions a little bit later. So you guys are also contributors to the XNA blog, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Actually, Sean has his own blog, which is incredibly popular. I think when Sean mentions that he's
lolcats and kind of fail blogs and posts and stuff.
And tons of
more
code.
Technical things.
And lots of code.
And
lots
I try
of
to
code.
Work cats into technical articles wherever possible.
Excellent.
Actually.
I think that should be a tenet
You'll
of all
find a lot
technical
of
articles.
Well, so, not just in the articles, but there's actual cats in the samples running around, bouncing off each other. I mean, he's had a huge hand in making sure there's tons of cats.
So the last post on your blog, what did you kind of write about?
I do not remember what the most recent post was.
Actually,
I've had
you...
a series of blogs about the new features in Game Studio 4.
Okay.
How to migrate IPI across from old usages, what the new features are.
Mm-hmm. I think you had a really good set of information about garbage collection and things like that. So some really specific managed code advice, mm-hmm. which is what a lot of people turn to Sean's blog for. We also have a team blog,
okay.
and that's accessible through the Creators Club site. And that's where you'll find the latest information on what's being released, changes that are coming, any updates and information. And we also try to call out specific folks on the web or anything exciting going on in our community, and that's an ongoing process.
Fantastic. So some recent news for you guys, and Sean, I'll get you to have a chat about this, which is the release of the Windows Phone 7 developer tools, and obviously including XNA Game Studio 4.0. Mm-hmm. So talk about what is this piece of news? What was the announcement?
So we've had our Game Studio 4 product in beta for a while now.
Okay.
We released SCTP earlier this year. And just earlier this week, or last week, in fact, on Thursday, I believe, we shipped the final RTM version of Game Studio 4.
Okay.
So that is part of the Windows Phone developer tools. If you download the Windows 7 Phone, I forget what the name of the package, but it's on the Creators Club website.
Okay.
That includes all of the tools you need to develop games and applications for Windows Phone 7, and also includes the full Game Studio product, so you can make games for Windows and Xbox 360 using that same install. We also have a standalone version of XNA Game Studio, which you can install if you don't want the full Windows Phone developer toolkit. That only gives you support for Windows and Xbox 360, but not the phone.
I should point out, too, that that's compatible with Windows XP. So we have a lot of academic folks. We have labs. We have community centers that are wanting to teach game development. Sometimes they have XP. They are not up to Vista or Windows Phone or Windows 7 yet. This standalone version provides support to Windows XP so
right.
they can continue to upgrade their development experience. So that was something we wanted to do for the community.
And I suppose worth pointing out, these are all free downloads, is that correct?
They're all free downloads.
Right.
The one thing I should point out there is if you want to run your game on Xbox 360, to run that you need to download the XNA Game Studio Kinect product,
okay.
which you get from Xbox Marketplace. That's actually not out for Game Studio 4 yet.
Okay.
We released a beta of that just this morning.
That's true.
The final version of that's going to be coming later this year.
Okay.
So right now you can test your games on Xbox using the beta.
All right. So let's just quickly run through the platform support. So on the PC, if I want to create a game or build a game on XNA, the barrier to entry is at least Windows XP and the free download of the tools. Is that correct?
That's all you need.
And totally free.
And Visual Studio Express.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Express, which is also free.
Great. So zero cost.
Correct.
So then the next platform, let's talk about Xbox 360. So I probably need an Xbox.
You need an Xbox?
Probably need an Xbox, but it doesn't need to be a professional developer kit.
It's not.
A standard retail Xbox.
A standard retail Xbox
right.
will work. The only restriction is you need a hard drive to install the developer tools.
Need a hard drive, right.
You also do need at least a silver Xbox Live account.
Okay.
Because you need to connect with the kit.
And that's free?
That is free. Now, when you decide to start working on Xbox 360, you will need to purchase a premium membership to the XNA Creators Club.
Mm-hmm.
That costs $99 a year
right.
and gives you access to deploying and debugging your game on your kit at home, and it allows you to get your game into peer review in preparation for selling it on Xbox Live Marketplace.
Okay, now are there any geographical restrictions for creating a Creators Club account?
There are.
Are all countries supported, or perhaps maybe just a few?
There is a subset of countries that can produce Xbox Live indie games,
okay.
what we call them.
Sure.
And there's a subset of countries that can purchase them. And the full list of those countries is available on the XNA Creators Club online website in our FAQ. So you'll find it front and center. You can look right at the list.
Fantastic. And so then this new platform, which is obviously the Windows Phone 7, So the barrier to entry there is probably a little bit more difficult because there's really not a lot of hardware out there at the moment.
Not right now.
But if you want to start creating apps, I'm assuming there's some kind of software emulator. You don't need the actual hardware.
There is an emulator. So the Windows Phone developer tools are also a free download.
Right.
And that includes the emulator. So you can start writing games now. You can test them out. The requirement for the emulator, it requires Windows Vista or 7. Mm-hmm. And it requires a DirectX 10 compatible GPU to run the phone emulator. But as long as you have that, it's all free. It works pretty good.
Now, a few minutes back, I heard you mention the word applications in regards to XNA and Windows Phone 7. This is kind of a question I wanted to ask you guys, is XNA or the XNA tools now becoming an option for people that want to look at creating, not necessarily strictly games, but more interactive apps for example, Windows Phone 7?
Yes, it can be. So there are two development environments supported for Windows Phone. There's XNA Game Studio and Silverlight. Mm-hmm. And the general guidance we give people is Silverlight is for applications, XNA is for games.
Right.
That's kind of an oversimplification because you can make applications using either and you can make games using either.
Sure.
The real distinction between the two is if you want 3D graphics, you need to be using XNA.
Okay.
Silverlight doesn't support 3D. If you want to have rich UI controls, particularly like the Silverlight programming model where you use the Blend Designer tool, hook up events, it's all very kind of automatic. You can use XAML to lay out your components, do like storyboard animations. For that kind of programming model, you want to be in Silverlight. XNA has a very much simpler kind of immediate mode programming model where you just call draw, 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 and draw exactly what you want to the screen. So for things that Silverlight fits well with, it's a great choice for some kinds of games, simpler 2D games generally. For more complex 3D stuff, XNA is a better choice. But it's certainly true, there are, you know, some games look very much like apps, and some apps look very much like games.
So the lines are definitely mm-hmm. blurring a lot between kind of what is a game and what is an app.
Definitely.
Especially for the kind of the more mm-hmm. simplistic kind of mechanics. All right, so let's jump into some of the questions that we have had submitted into the Channel 9 Coffee House. And I have about kind of 10 here, so let's kind of go through them quickly. So Magical Click is first up and asks about how easy is it to tap into GPU accelerated physics? And I think that's kind of an overarching question. I think the reference is specifically probably to the PC, but let's talk about other platforms as well.
In the general sense, not very easy right now using XNA. That's
okay.
Not something we've really designed for. The big challenge with GPU acceleration for things that need to be read back to the CPU is the GPU actually runs late, kind of behind the CPU. Mm-hmm. So the way this operates is when you call draw functions on the CPU, it doesn't immediately start drawing them. It just queues these operations up in a buffer. And then at some point later, usually roughly a whole frame later, the GPU runs through this buffer and plays back those drawing commands. And this is great for performance because this is how you get parallelism. You automatically have the CPU and the GPU running at the same time. And because the GPU is playing back these commands lazily, the CPU can be running way ahead, drawing the next frame and doing all of its physics and whatever it needs to do, and the GPU can at the same time be drawing earlier stuff. The problem is, as soon as you want to do physics, you want to read back something. So the GPU does a bunch of calculations, produces a result, and then the CPU wants to say, okay, where is that object that you've just done this math for? Well, the GPU doesn't have that data until a whole frame later, which is not usually very useful for, you know, generally, if you compute something, you want to know it right now. So generally, the advice I would have for people is GPU physics works brilliantly in XNA for things that are just outputs. So if you're doing things like particle effects, mm-hmm. where you don't really care where the particles are, you just want them to bounce around and look great, but the thing that the output is just graphics on the screen, that's really good to do on the GPU. And we have full support for things like render to texture, floating point surface formats, all the stuff you need to do that. Things like rippling water or hair animation, cloth animation, that can be great to do on the GPU. Things where it's actually your core game physics, not really so good in XNA right now.
And is that so does that mean that if somebody needed that functionality, is XNA probably not the right solution for them? Should they be looking at more native development or developing some other way?
You can mix and match on Windows.
Okay.
So if you're working on Xbox, it's a complete buy-in. If you use XNA, you're just using XNA.
Okay.
And you can't make games on Xbox any other way unless you're a registered developer who has an Xbox development kit.
Sure.
On Windows, we run with full trust, so you can use interop, you can write bits of native code in C++. So it would be totally feasible to use XNA for your graphics and the things XNA is good at, and then use some other technology for the things that XNA is not so good at.
Okay. All right, well, the next question is from Weibo, and we've kind of covered some of this, but it's more about the history of XNA, and he says, give us some history of XNA back to the MDX roots. I remember reading how MDX was started by Tom Miller as a personal side project somewhere in the DirectX for VB6 days. I've butchered that question there, but we're talking more about the roots of XNA and where it came from. First of all, what does MDX stand for?
MDX stands for Managed DirectX.
Of course.
Which is a .NET wrapper around the native DirectX APIs.
Okay, and then XNA was born out of that concept, is that right?
Not directly, actually, although some of the same people ended up working on XNA. So Tom Miller worked on Managed DirectX for several years and produced a couple of versions of that.
Yeah, much more than a side project. I was actually a documentation writer on MDX for a little while, and it was big.
It was big. It shipped as part of the DirectX SDK. Mm-hmm. And Managed DirectX philosophy was quite simple. It was to take everything that DirectX does for C++ and just put that same stuff into .NET without really changing it too much. It didn't add much new stuff. It didn't take anything away. Just every single API, wrap it, expose it. XNA started 4.5, nearly 5 years ago now.
Right.
And when I first joined Microsoft, it was to work on XNA. And at first, we had a very vague, open-ended mission as a team, which was to go find something that would make game development easier and help game developers and then do it. So we spent a while spinning in circles trying to figure out what should that be. And in the end, decided that .NET seemed really interesting. It was a great way to boost developer productivity. And meanwhile, the .NET Compact Framework team had gone off and done a prototype of getting that running on Xbox 360. And so we thought, wow, that's interesting. If we took that and had some APIs and a framework and Visual Studio and took all these pieces and made them work together, we could really have something pretty cool.
Now, at some point, there was also an effort spun up to look at a space that of consumers and developers that hadn't been tackled before. I mean, initially, this stuff was shown at, I don't remember if it was GDC or where, but it was professionals, professionals, professionals. Mm-hmm. And then I believe it was Boyd Malterer who looked at this new space and said, it's not just professionals. What if anybody could make games on the Xbox 360? And I think a business model started to take shape. The technology and the business converged.
Yeah. And that was a really big shift from the way that all consoles really have traditionally thought, that they're very closed down. They only run signed executables. Mm. The only way you get a game is from the people who make the console. And if you want to publish a game, you have to go cap in hand to the people who make that console and say, please give me permission, let me publish this. So that was quite a big change to say, okay, we're going to let anyone write these games, test them, produce them, finish them, and then actually sell them. So that came from a few different angles. And as part of that, Tom Miller, who had worked on Managed DirectX, came across to work on XNA. He obviously had a lot of experience in making managed APIs for doing things like graphics, input, sound, all the stuff you need to do to make a game. And we obviously used some of that MDX code. So in some ways, XNA has a lot of MDX heritage, but it's not a direct descendant. And there's definitely kind of a philosophical difference that whereas MDX said, we're going to take every single thing that native DirectX does, with XNA, we've tried to kind of go our own route a little bit more. So there are things in DirectX that we don't expose. There are lots of things we have that aren't in DirectX, where we've done work to make new features. We've tried to be more of a good .NET API and think more what makes sense for .NET and what do people really need for making games in .NET, and not so much just inheriting things from DirectX.
And Charles, has the ultimate goal always been let's make developing games easier?
I think the ultimate goal has been let's make developing games easier.
Sure.
Perhaps let's expand developing games to different audiences is something that came online as we realized the potential there. But I think it started from and has continued to be all about making the development process easier for whoever it is that's developing.
And the non-professional or this indie game space, I mean, it's pretty big these days. I mean, do you have any stats in terms of like how many projects have been submitted through Creators Club or how many people are out there actually building games for Xbox using XNA Creators Club?
I can tell you that in the Xbox Live Indie Games channel, which is the place that all indie games end up going and being picked up by folks who want to play them, we have over 1,400 titles in that catalog.
Wow.
Through Dream Build Play, which is an annual contest where people can create games, we have had several indie games be picked up by Xbox Live Arcade. So they're sort of moving up and being the stars. So there's been a lot of success here.
Fantastic.
I should also point out on that even outside of the indie game space, there are several Xbox Live Arcade games that are made using XNA Game Studio.
Okay.
By traditional professional Xbox game developers.
Right.
Who chose to use managed code just because it was easier, more productive.
Any names you can drop?
I think the first
LucasArts
one was...
LucasArts.
Yeah, I remember Torpex did Schizoid. I think that was the first one that got out there. But LucasArts, they...
And cool. The Dishwasher game that's on XBLA was actually originally made by an indie game creator.
Dead Samurai?
Dead Samurai, The Dishwasher, and that's by James Silva, who was, I believe, was he the first Dream
He was
Build
the first
Play?
Winner of the Dream Build Play competition.
He was. That was at GDC about three years ago.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then on Windows Phone, all the games are made with XNA, all the way from the hobbyist who has a bright idea up to the very big studios who are making very polished.
So that's very interesting. All right, BitFlipper has a question. What kind of work is being done to improve the GC or the garbage collector? The current GC is not ideal for use in something like games where a GC cycle can cause an interrupt long enough to cause noticeable frame dropping. So garbage collection.
We haven't done a lot of direct work on garbage collection in the .NET runtime itself in this last release. But we focus very much on optimizing the XNA framework code to not create garbage.
Well, so what is garbage?
So the way garbage collection works in .NET is memory management is automatic in managed code compared to C++ where you have to write your own code. You allocate something, then you have to free it, and it's your fault if you get that wrong, your program's going to crash. In .NET, this is all automatic. So you allocate objects, you use them. When you're done, just forget about them and go on and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and again, the garbage collector will kick in. And this is a bit of software that scans through memory to find whatever objects you're not using anymore and automatically reclaims them. So it simplifies programming a lot. You can't possibly get it wrong. The downside is that when this thing does kick in, it has to scan all of memory to find these objects, and that can take a while. If you have a lot of objects, it can take quite a long time, and then your game will hitch and you get a frame rate drop. Really, the way I like to think about this is that garbage collection allows you to be very lazy. And for some apps, it's fine to be lazy. You can just say, okay, I don't need to think about memory anymore. I'm just going to write code and create all of this garbage, and the system will just magically reclaim it. Great, I'm done. Ship. And for many apps, that's actually fine. For games that really need tight performance, that's not fine. So you kind of have to think of .NET memory as being similar to how you would have done the same thing in C++. In C++, you can't be lazy about memory because your program will either run out and crash or crash because you overwrote something. Mm-hmm. But you have to manage memory correctly. So anytime you allocate something, you have to keep track of that, remember when you're done with it, and free it. And in .NET, you can do the same thing. Instead of freeing an object, you put it into a pool that keeps track this object is available to be reused. And then when you later want another object of that same type, instead of newing up a fresh one, just go get that one from the pool that you had earlier. And if you do this, then you're never allocating. You're just reusing the same set of objects over and over again. And then the garbage collector will never run because you're not creating any garbage. It's more work to program that way, obviously, but no more work than it would have been to write the same programming in C++.
There's still good game development habits that they're unmanaged versus unmanaged. Mm-hmm. Reuse is important, as is keeping your memory footprint low. What you're trying to do is you're trying to maintain a frame rate, and that requires reducing the number of objects you're iterating through, and that's always a habit that you should have. So in a lot of our samples and a lot of our educational material, you'll see tricks like that where instead of having a list you dynamically add to, we cap the number of game objects and keep track of which ones can be reused. Ultimately, you have a finite amount of screen space, and so if it's off the screen, you might consider reusing it somewhere else. It's all about the game player's experience, and as long as you can maintain that at a healthy frame rate, you don't need to track every object.
That's probably a good segue into a quick link for where is the best place to go to find this information. Like, I'm sure there's, you just mentioned before, there's blog posts, there's documentation, there's white papers. Where do we go to find the information?
Well, one of the central places is on the XNA Creators Club online site. There you'll find an educational catalog. We have right now over 100 samples, tutorials, articles, even full starter kits that have games you can jump right in and play with. They're all well documented, and they all show how you can move forward in learning these techniques. So we try to make sure everything is available there. As you know, the internet's a big place, though, so there's some very good blogs out there, and I would point everybody towards Sean Hargreaves' blog because it is the number one place to get the highest caliber technical guidance.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. you know, everybody knows it, I'm just saying.
And of course, the wonderfully creative implementation of cats in every single post. Guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Is that right? Guaranteed?
I'll accept bug reports if anyone can find posts without cats.
Okay.
He's building the brand, the Sean Hargreaves brand.
So we have a couple more questions I just want to quickly get to. And one is from our very own Carmine, who is kind of astroturfing here, but he loves to ask these questions. So related to BitFlipper's question, how is managed code performance maximized in the XNA framework?
There's a lot of things we've learned about managed code. You know, this was the first time anyone had really used managed code seriously as a game programming platform. Mm-hmm. And when we started out, we had a lot of skepticism, both within our team and outside. Come on, .NET is used for web servers, and it's used for, you know, UI apps. It's not used for games. And we've dug in and learned a lot, and learned that many parts of .NET are excellent for games. There's a few things that are not. Generally, the more high-level something is, the more likely it is to have surprising performance characteristics. So things like garbage collection, you know, if you're very lazy, things that maybe you can get away with when you don't care about performance, you can't get away with so much when you do care.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, .NET is much higher level than C or C++. And it's interesting to me to see this as kind of a progression. I was working in the games industry when people moved from C to C++. And I remember a lot of conversations about, you know, C++ is kind of scary because you don't know what it does. You write simple little things with templates and classes, and then the compiler goes and makes this code that does, it puts vtables behind all of your virtual functions. And ooh, I don't know how that works, you know. So how can you predict what's going to be fast or slow? Well, you know, you learn. A good C++ programmer has to understand what a copy constructor is and what a virtual function is and know when to use them, when not to use them. They're a great time saver in the right place, or they can be a huge waste of time in the wrong place. .NET's really the same, but it has more of these things to learn about because it's higher level and more powerful. So you really do need to understand things like what is a delegate, what is an event, how does this work? And what does it mean when you call something via reflection? That's very powerful, but quite slow compared to just immediately going and fetching a property value.
Cool. All right, I'm going to jump ahead through these questions because we're kind of running out of time. Zippy V asks, how should we make a choice between creating a native DirectX 11 application or a managed XNA application? So what are the questions you need to ask yourself to kind of go through that process?
So I assume this question is about Windows, since you don't have DirectX 11 native on Xbox 360.
Very true, yes. At least for now.
At least for now.
Yeah, so this is a PC question about how do you make the choice between native DirectX 11 versus XNA?
It really depends on what feature set your application needs to use. And particularly on Windows, the .NET performance delta between managed and native code is very, very small. The Windows version of .NET is incredibly impressive performance-wise. So you really won't see that big a perf difference whether you go native code or XNA. A big choice is, are there things you need to access that are DirectX 11 GPU features? XNA Game Studio 4 is based on DirectX 9, so we support up to Shader Model 3. That's a pretty good feature set. It's very widely supported by install base of hardware on PCs today.
Mm-hmm.
There are features in DirectX 11 that are interesting and exciting. If you need to do things like geometry shaders or hardware tessellation, XNA is not going to give you access to that stuff. The flip side to that is the install base of DirectX 11 cards is much lower than of DirectX 9.
Right, and they're relatively new, aren't they? I mean,
they're
18
new on
months,
the market.
Is that right?
Yeah.
12 months, maybe?
About 12 months since
right.
They've really been mainstream.
Sure.
So if you design your game around, I'm going to go and use geometry shaders and hardware tessellation all over the place, well, that limits how many people can play that game.
Sure.
That's really a choice that you need to make. You know, certainly, we find there are many, many interesting games that can be done with the XNA feature set.
Well, and XNA Game Studio 4.0 has really simplified the PC development in simplifying the capabilities into the reach and the high def profiles. I think that's something that's worth mentioning.
Yes, it is. That's something we've done a lot of work on, is trying to reduce the hardware capabilities matrix that's always plagued PC development.
Sure.
Where you finish your game, it plays great on your machine, you give it to your friend and it crashes because your hardware didn't do something. So we've gone through and tried to standardize, tried to find which hardware features does every single PC support. And we've bucketed those into a feature set that we call a reach, mm-hmm. which means if you use that feature set, you get broad reach across all PCs, Windows Phone, Xbox, it's all the same. And we'll limit you in the API usage. If you say on startup, this is a reach game, we'll throw exceptions if you try to do something that's going to cause you compatibility problems.
Cool.
And then we have a higher level capability set that we call high def, which is things that better DirectX 10 plus Windows cards and Xbox 360 can do, but that, you know, my crappy laptop at home won't be able to run and Windows Phone won't be able to run. So if you want to do something more high-end, you can opt in and say, I want to use high-def features. And then again, we give you a guarantee that all of those features that we've put into that high def capability will work on all of the PCs that support high def. So you don't have to worry so much about, oh, this texture format might not be supported, but this other one is, and all of that fallback code paths that can be so time consuming to test.
Very cool. And just a sub question here from ZippyV about future versions of XNA. Will future versions of XNA support VB.NET? If not, and what is stopping them from supporting it currently or in the future?
So we don't have anything to announce about future versions. That's my stock answer for
yes,
anything
well
about
done.
That, I'm afraid.
Well read.
You actually can use VB.NET today on Windows.
Okay.
We don't officially support this, so we don't have tooling support in Visual Studio. But the Windows XNA framework is just a .NET assembly. It, you know, you can make a VB project, you can add a reference to it, you can call all of our APIs, and that works just fine today. The thing that used to be a little bit complicated about that is we have a content pipeline, which is how we build all of your textures and sounds and models for use in the game. And that's tied to our Visual Studio project system. The way you can do that if you're working in VB is make a VB project, write all of your game code in it, add an XNA C# game library to the same solution, add all of your content inside there, and then our C# project can build your content that will create .xnb format binary files, and you can load those into your VB app. So that works just fine. You have to, you know, we don't officially support it, so we don't have samples or documentation in VB syntax, but you can do it. It won't work on Xbox because we don't have the VB runtime on Xbox.
So for VB.NET fans out there, there are workarounds. They can stay within VB world.
Absolutely, yes.
Excellent. All right, well, one last question. I think it's the last one. Let me look. Yep. And this is from Ian Two, and he asks, does the team think it would be possible at some point to introduce XAML and or event-driven programming without compromising the platform? And this kind of comes back to, I think, the question about do you choose Silverlight or did you choose XNA? Mm-hmm. But your answer.
That's a great question and something we've been thinking hard about. I don't think we would ever add XAML directly to XNA as a feature. You know, we already have Silverlight. That does a great job dealing with XAML. I don't think the world benefits from adding another implementation of something that's, you know, obviously going to be slightly different and incompatible. What would be very interesting is being able to mix and match the two technologies a little bit better. We've taken some steps towards that with Windows Phone. So Windows Phone is always based on a Silverlight kind of application model, even if you're writing an XNA game. So you can share certain things between them. If you make a Silverlight app, you can still add a reference to the main XNA framework DLL. So you can use our math library, our sound APIs, our media APIs from within Silverlight. That integration doesn't go as deep as we ideally would have liked, mostly just for time, and you know, the technology is fairly complicated when you start sharing things, particularly around graphics. So you can't have Silverlight graphics and XNA graphics within a single game. That's something we would love to fix, but we haven't figured out details or timeline or if we will ever be able to, but it's certainly on the roadmap.
As far as event-driven programming, though, I would imagine that since it's .NET, you can certainly instrument code that you have with events and create some kind of framework
yes,
of your own if that's what you like. So there's plenty of opportunity for folks out there to create third-party solutions that they could share with others that simplify the app model for XNA Game Studio and the framework down to an event-driven model that under the hood is still using the update and draw loops. But
that's absolutely true. And there are a couple of community projects that do something very similar. There's a startup company fairly recently released a beta of a product that does some XAML-like UI rendering that's implemented all in XNA. So there are definitely options if you want to go down the third-party route.
Yep.
It's nice to have a community. We have amazing third-party support and dare I say it, middleware out there that's providing professional quality services to our community developers, and I'm happy to say that a lot of folks are taking advantage of those.
Well, that's fantastic. So we are at the end of our questions, but before we go, I want to quickly ask you, Charles, for the viewers out there, for the members of the Channel 9 community, where is the best place to go? You mentioned, obviously, the Creators Club website for documentation.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have additional questions, obviously, they can put them here in the coffee house and we can forward them on to you guys. But, Sean, the URL for your blog, or where should people go to provide feedback, to ask questions, to be a part of the conversation?
I still think the best place is the Creators Club online. And one of the reasons is that we have a full forums community that has not only the team contributing, but we also have a number of MVPs, very, very smart people who are working on games day and night, who are excited to jump in and answer any questions that you might have. So if you go to creators.xna.com,
You can go to the forums, which is a direct link off the main page, register for an account, totally free, and you can start asking questions and join the conversation.
And of course, Sean, your blog and the URL for that is?
My blog is blogs.msdn.com/b/SeanHa.
Right, and do both of you accept, Sean, do you accept kind of emails on your blog? Can I ask you a question directly?
I have a questions form on the blog. Generally, I would recommend the creators.xna.com forums.
Because the community's bigger. And
the community's bigger. I'm on there all the time, so I will probably get to questions there just as quickly as I would through my blog.
Great.
And that way the answer's out in public where other people can read it too.
Awesome. Well, guys, we hope to do this again. Thank you very much for your time. To the viewers out there in Channel 9 land, let us know. What did you think of this chat with the guys from the XNA blog, the XNA team? We'd like to do this again. What would you like to see? How can we serve you better? Charles, Sean, thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers.